Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today we're talking about how to create prolific content for your business with my guest, Beck Power. Beck Power is a content marketer, an international speaker, and the host of the Amplify Content podcast. Beck also helps small businesses to create more content and to make that content more effective, driving awareness, engagement, leads, and sales. She is the founder of Power Creative Media, a done-for-you content agency, and AMP Content Academy, a free resource for DIY, do-it-yourself content hacks, concepts, and frameworks. Now, Beck has been featured in Forbes, Yahoo, Entrepreneur, New York Magazine, and New York Mag, and The Next Web. So she joins me today on Your Partner in Success Radio to share several really important things. Why should we be creating more content? What is social media all about now? What kind of content should we be posting? What is content repurposing? And how to come up with good content ideas? Beck, welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. It's good to have you here.
Hey, Denise. Thanks for having me. It's really great to be here.
Well, we were introduced, and I can't remember how, now is some months ago, and I went, oh, I need to talk with her. So here we are. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy to have you here because content marketing is a big, big deal. And if you do it wrong, oh, my. So let's talk about how to do it right.
I'm excited for this conversation. Thank you so much. This is definitely my jam, and I'm just excited to spend the next hour talking about content marketing. So much fun.
Oh, thank you so much. Listen, and like I just mentioned, there's a lot of ways to do it wrong. Let's just for the heck of it hit on a few things that people are doing that really annoy other people, that get them banned, that get them knocked off of email lists that they shouldn't be doing. And then let's go to the good stuff, like, okay, now that we've kind of warned you and scared you a little bit to never, never, never do that again, here's what you should be doing. So go for it.
Sure. So there's certainly some things that I see all the time. I think the main one that kind of makes me cringe is when people only use promotional content and they're just, or the only time they post is just to say, hey, I've got a sale going on, or hey, you could buy this thing from me. And I mean, I use four types of content, and promotional is definitely one of those. But I feel like if you're only posting that all the time, and I really have people in my Facebook feed, and we all have people, we all really know people who do this, just that they haven't thought of anything creative. They're not really helping anybody. They just are posting over and over again, here's what you can buy from me, and they're not building any rapport or any trust. And, of course, no one's going to listen to them. They don't make sales. And that actually, I think it's almost like a cycle, right? They become a bit more desperate, and then they post more of the same thing. I don't know if you've experienced that, but certainly that's a thing that I see all the time. And I suppose I have a bit of a critical eye because of what I do, but certainly that's a thing that will cause people to unsubscribe from your email list or cause people to unfollow you. That's probably the biggest thing. Have you experienced that?
I see it all the time, and I'm like you. My spider sense goes off. It's like, do you have nothing else? Do you have a personality? Do you have cats? What's going on with you? Mm-hmm. Who are you? You know, we need to know, like, and trust people. And if you're just, as an entrepreneur or a marketer, just cramming your stuff in our face all the time, but you're not giving us a reason to know you, like you, and trust you, and really take that long game with you, we're going to ignore you. And my spidey sense is getting stronger as I get, you know, do this more often. It's like, nope, I'm not going to play with you. I'm just going to block you.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think, like, most people now, our spidey senses are getting really good at kind of defining or separating those two types of people and businesses. And it's so easy now. We see so much content that it's very easy for us to dismiss people. It's not like you're going to get a second chance. You know what I mean? People just disappear, or you'll just disappear from their feeds if they're not interested. And I think you brought up another important point, which is kind of related, but it's like business versus personal. I think we'll probably touch on this a bit later on too, but people don't want to do business with companies anymore. They want to do business with people. And so if you're only showing your business content all the time and no personal content, you might think it's silly that you could post about your cat, but that's, people love cats. You know what I mean? People, if you'll attract all the cat people, if you're posting pictures of your cat, and that, those people will be interested in your content. And
it's
that
true.
Way you're building. Yeah,
they
you're
do.
Building
I actually have a Facebook group called Feline Office Assistants because, you know, I have cats in the home. I have two dogs in the home. One of my cats he's a hashtag. He is hashtag Hamilton is an ass. He gets Christmas cards. He does. He gets Christmas cards. So,
that's amazing.
But, you know, I do it deliberately because, as you already know, there are no pictures of me on the internet. There never will be. I'm incredibly camera phobic. And I like my privacy. I'm also a card-carrying introvert. There are not going to be any pictures. So I started writing about my cats because people love their pets, because they're flipping hilarious. They really are. I mean, these are some really interesting pets. And it gives people an insight into who I am, how my home runs, that I can write, that I can communicate, and that I'm human. It's quite deliberate, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's perfect. I think considering I haven't really met very many people like you in that sense, that their face, they don't want their face on the internet, which is totally valid. But such a good way of getting around that is posting about your pets. And I always think there's always ways to get around everything. You know, if you don't want your face on the internet, you can. There's definitely a ton of ways to do it, and it's so smart to have your pets be that way. I think it's really cool, and I'm gonna check out your group because I've got two cats.
You need to join us. I'm telling you, Hamilton is a 20 pound ginger, and he's bat crap crazy, and I love him the best.
That's amazing.
I don't tell him that. I tell him they're all my favorites. But, you know, he's really funny. But there are ways. And, you know, if all you're doing, and I had a client one time, and I know this has happened with you. I had a client say, well, why are you posting stuff that doesn't have anything to do with my business? Excuse me. And I had to explain what I just explained here on the radio, that nobody wants to hear about your blog or your offerings or whatever it is that you're doing all the time. They want to know you, like you, and trust you. It was a hard sell with him, but finally he went, oh, because he got a lot more people paying attention to him when he was himself. Then they were willing to get what he was offering.
Yeah, and the other thing is that people only are interested. I mean, if you think about yourself and you're listening to this and you think about what you're interested in, it's things that are going to help you. So you can't really expect other people to care about you or rather about your business. You're really only interested in things that are going to help you move forward. And whether or not if you've got an offer, if you're looking at an offer of somebody's, you may not be ready for it right then. You don't know, like, or trust that person yet. And so building out trust first and then making your offer later is the way forward. And you build trust by posting, you know, a variety of content. Certainly some of it is personal. I also have personal promo and then authority content and bridging content as well, which, you know, I'm happy to go into.
What I do want to make sure that people understand what we're saying about personal content, we're not talking bikini pictures. We're not talking, you know, that you just had something removed off of your butt that we don't care about. That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, not too overly personal content.
No. But you want to find things that you think people will be interested in. For instance, I have a client that is a financial planner. I post a lot of her stuff, but I'm also looking for things that might be of interest that are not necessarily financial planning, but, you know, have to do with growing age, you know, age issues, and, you know, just things that we're all going, let me look at that. And I think that's what you're talking about here as well.
Yeah, definitely. That's really good to make sure that we're clear on the boundaries of personal content. Certainly, you don't want to freak anybody out. But I've seen all types of personal content used in different ways, and I think there's just so many ways to create content and personal content. I mean, one of them that I use fairly regularly, I do a daily email, and I always start with a story. And stories are the best. I mean, you know, as a species, humans are most drawn to stories. So if you do want to sell something, you can't just jump in. I've really noticed on Facebook posts, I don't know if you have, but when I make a post, if it just says, hey, you can buy my, my workshop for $200 off today, here's what you get, blah, blah, it gets zero interaction. Nobody cares. But I said the other day, I'll give you an example. I wrote a post about how I grew up in New Zealand fishing with my dad. And when we would go out fishing, we would use different baits to catch different fish, and we would fish in different spots to catch specifically what we wanted to catch, which was snapper. And snapper, this might be too much fishing information, but snapper sit at the bottom of the ocean. They're not kind of, they're cold water fish. And so you have to put your line right down until it hits the bottom and then raise it up a tiny bit so that the snapper will get it. Now, if you fish at the top, you know, you might catch a different type of fish, but you're not going to catch a snapper. And so I always end these stories with a little moral of the story and how it relates to business. So I said, now, if you think your audience only, if you're trying to catch all types of fish, you can't just fish in one place. You can't just fish with one bait. You have to try doing all types of baits and all types of content and, you know, platforms and all that type of thing if you want to catch a lot of different types of fish. So, you know, it was just in a kind of a moral of the story. And then I said at the end, if you want to know more about, you know, these types of content and types of platforms, join my workshop. And that got a ton of people messaging me and talking about how they liked fishing, and they also grew up fishing. And they were, you know, and listen, did I make any sales? I think I made one or two sales, but the point is not that. The point is now I'm building trust with my audience, and I'm building, you know, these conversations. It's really good content if people end up in your inbox, because that way you're generating these relationships, and you're really building these relationships with people that over time could turn into all types of things. But this is your online audience. It's not all about a quick sale. It's a lot of this stuff, content marketing, is about building relationships over time and having more of an influence, making more of an impact with people, which then at some point will affect your income.
Exactly. And I love the fishing story. I love stories. You know, that's one thing mm-hmm. about me and my goofy cats. They're storytellers. Mm-hmm. I'm just the narrator. So I mm-hmm. share those stories, and then people go, oh, you know what? Something like that happened to me too. And now I've got this other thought, because you get thinking. It's like, ooh, I mean, you're talking about fishing. I live 15 or 20 miles from the Gulf of Mexico as a crow flies. We've had four hurricanes come knocking at my door this year.
Wow.
It's interesting. I love fish. Mm. So you caught me with just the fishing. I'm like, huh, I like snapper. I may need to go to the grocery store. So now you've got me thinking, okay, now what's next here? So stories are perfect. Told well, they're magic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important to, you know, you might not be a natural storyteller. I certainly am not. And I have been doing these daily emails now for a few months and just practicing. And I think if you look at it like, okay, well, this is a skill and I'm just going to see what happens. Some of my stories are terrible and the moral of the story doesn't really relate that well. And I feel like I screwed it up. But it doesn't matter, because all of content marketing is about practice and consistency. So I feel like that's a really important thing to mention.
And I'm so glad you brought up consistency, because I had just written that down. One thing mm-hmm. that I see people make the mistake of, they're not consistent. They're not showing up, whether it's a podcast. I see a mm-hmm. lot of people, podcast groups, and I know you've got one and you're very consistent with it. They're like, oh, you know, nobody's paying attention. Well, when did you post last? Oh, a month ago. When before that? Oh, I don't know. Really? Mm-hmm. I think you just answered your own question. You have to be consistent. Whatever it is, mm-hmm. you have to be consistent.
Well, one thing that reminds me of is, I've spent 8 or 10 years now in the online space. And, for the first sort of six, I was floating around trying different things and being really inconsistent. And I think, you know, if we could take it to mindset a little bit here, part of the problem was that I really wasn't committed to the thing that I was doing. And so I had, you know, the shiny object syndrome, was trying different things. But also, I wasn't really ready. I wasn't really ready in the space to have success, because I would just change my mind anytime getting traction. I would just switch over to something else. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but if we look really deeply, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, that sounds, I don't do that. I want success. Well, sometimes that we sabotage ourselves, and we sabotage ourselves by not being really consistent, because we really don't know what life would look like if we were consistent. You know, that's not how we identify as somebody who posts every day or emails every day or all those types of things. And so the only way that I could learn to become consistent was to practice and to stop thinking of myself as, you know, kind of like a black and white thinking. So instead of thinking, oh, you know, I'm either the person who does this or I'm not, I just thought, you know what, I'm going to show up and just try. I'm just going to do it every day, even though it's not, I might not be amazing at it. And then what's happened over that time is now I think of myself as someone who posts every day because I have been, right? And I've built this like amazing business because I've been practicing, and it's really getting, it compounds, all that effort compounds. And so not only have I compounded my belief in myself because I'm showing up and doing the thing, but I've compounded my results because people now know me as this person who has consistently done this thing. And I'm compounding those results of relationships and income and influence and making more of an impact than I was before when I was just shuffling from thing to thing.
See, I'm so glad you brought that up, because mindset is critical, and that's a brilliant story. Thank you. I think what happens with a lot of us, and I am guilty, I just raise my hand up, imposter syndrome. We all have it. What we need to do is say, you know what? I'm good at what I do. I'm really good at some of the things I do. I can get better at a lot of the things I do. Now I need to work it. And just quit trying to compare yourself to other people. You're not them. You never will be. Mm-hmm. You're you. And you have your own audience.
Absolutely. Comparing ourselves with other people is just, it's not going to get us anywhere. And I do the same thing. You have good comparisonitis, right? It's really tough. But every time, I think the way through for me, at least, has been every time I notice it, I think, like I really bring it into my awareness, because it used to be unconscious, right? Like we would just, I would just think, okay, well, that person's doing really well. And then I have anxiety. And so I would, you know, start to panic, right? Oh, I'm not going to achieve my potential in the world. And I should be doing way better than I am. And I've been doing this now for 8 years. But that wasn't true, right? I've only been doing this particular business for less than that. And, you know, there's lots of reasons or ways that you can reason with yourself to kind of bring yourself off that ledge. I think bringing that into your awareness, that comparisonitis, that means when you have it, when you do compare yourself and get that panic, you can go, hold on, I've done this before. This is just me being silly. This isn't real. I'm just going to keep on doing my thing a little bit day by day, show up, you know, I go into the office, I write my email for the day or for the week, you know, do my emails, or, you know, write my posts, or I'll follow up with leads or whatever is on my list. And I just do that. And then I'm done. I celebrate. I've done those small things. I'll do any extra stuff after that. But it's just it's literally a daily practice, kind of like meditation or, you know, healthy eating or exercise or any of those things. It's just a daily practice, and you get better every day.
Exactly. And you have to create that habit, that practice. And it's going to take some doing. It's going to take you hauling your fanny from the kitchen or the backyard or wherever you are, wherever you're hiding, because that's what you're doing, and get to your office and make it, do it. And it, you know, you said something earlier. It's like, well, it's not perfect. Who told you it wasn't perfect? You did. So stop telling yourself that. Of course it was perfect. It was you. It was brilliant. Move on to the next thing. We really need to create, what we really need to create, honestly, Beck, is self-confidence. Like, people do want to hear from me. We get wonderful comments from other people. And instead of going, oh, that was nice, thank you, and then moving on, sit with it, savor it, pick it apart, and figure out what it is that you did that impressed them so much, and do more of that.
Yes. Yes, exactly. I think there's so much to be said for that positive self-talk and just noticing when things aren't going how you want and saying, okay, what am I choosing to do right now? Like, who am I choosing to be? And I think that self-belief comes from evidence, right? We have a whole bunch
yes.
of evidence in our past that we are crap, or we don't follow through on the things that we say, or we don't do good content or whatever. But the evidence that we need, we ignore any good evidence and we just listen to this bad evidence. So if we start picking the good evidence, I feel like that is the way forward. It certainly has been for me.
Exactly. I get fantastic comments, and I am terribly guilty of going, oh, that's sweet, and then not doing a darn thing with it in terms of my own mindset or my
mm-hmm.
own self-care, if you will. And so now I'm taking that moment and I'm really looking at it, and then I'll make a note to go look at it again and see what I see the second time and the third time. And then, of course, I always say, oh, thank you so, so, so much. I mean, I'm really appreciative of really great comments. But I also, I've learned to go back and say, that is terrific. I really appreciate your input. Do you see anywhere I can improve? And that opens up all kinds of conversations. I didn't used to do that. And I'm glad I do it now.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing when you can make that transition and realize that that's what's been going on. You know, it really changes a lot within your mindset. And when you change your mindset and your energy, I feel like that is what changes your life.
Oh, exactly. So listen, I've got a whole bunch of questions that I mentioned at the top. So let's start with...
Mm-hmm.
Why should we be creating more content? We've talked about the kind of content we should create, want to create, will love
mm-hmm.
to create, and the kind of stuff we really shouldn't be doing all the time to some degree, and we'll probably cover that a bit more. But why should we be creating more content and being more consistent with it?
Well, the first thing that I always talk about is that you can almost never create too much content. You really could put out 10 times what you're doing right now. And people, it wouldn't be a big deal, and you'd probably be doing better. I mean, the all of us do. Because most people, in terms of the algorithm, most people don't see your content. You know, when you post that you've been on a podcast, being featured on a podcast, 17 people might see it on Facebook. And then it's gone. And so people are, oh, I'm posting, but nothing's happening. Well, guess what? You posted that thing once. And I know we're going to talk about content repurposing soon, but you can certainly, just even in terms of resharing things, you know, I've been featured in Forbes, right? And I'm not going to only post that once. I'm going to use
no.
the crap out of it. I'm going to say, okay, well, I'm going to put it on my website, and I'm going to put it on all of my my images for my Facebook cover photos and my promo images. And once a month, I'm going to just, like, I even actually am thinking about running a retargeting ad that's going to show to people daily that I was where all the places I've been featured, just an authority ad from the media, and just have that running to all the people who ever visit my website constantly, like $5 a day or something like that. Because I feel like that's the type of thing that, you know, build that credibility, but also, you know, other things, like if you've just been featured in someone's podcast, you could post that once a month forever and with a link to the
episode. I do. Seriously, I post every night, 9:00, one of my podcasts. They can go back 8, 9, 10, 12 years. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are just that good. So I'm constantly reposting my guests, what they were doing, what they were up to. I mean, I don't know that I'm doing a great job on content repurposing, but I want people to hear my guests. I want them to know who you guys are and what you bring to the table and the kind of tips and advice that you share. I mean, I'm constantly reposting those. It's never, and I tell my guests, you know, but in the pre-interview, it's not a one and done. You're going to see your over and over and over again for the next, I don't know how many years.
Yeah, definitely. That's perfect. There's such a, there's so much good content that people have, and they're just scared to post too much, right? It's like a fear of someone saying, hey, I've seen that post already, or, hey, you're posting a lot. Like, who cares? Like, a lot of times if you're posting, I mean, listen, if you're posting those promo posts that we were talking about before, certainly you don't want to see those every day or every, multiple times a day. But if you're posting valuable content, let me list a few right now of different things that you could be posting, tutorials, you could be posting story posts, like I talked about before, you could be posting testimonials, places that you've been featured, interviews that you've done, quotes that you've said, quotes that you like, reviews on books that you've read. I mean, there's so much stuff that you could post about, and I feel like people are just getting, it's kind of lazy, I think. It's just posting like, hey, this product is available. Well, no one cares about that. They want to, get from A to B, which is solving their problem. So you have to do two-step posts where you get their email address or, tutorials is such a good one. Just a quick tutorial. I mean, I did one the other day in some Facebook group. It took me 3 minutes. And it was like how to set up Zapier so that you get a payment notification every time you make a sale. Like, because I wanted it to make a sound every time I made a sale, like cha-ching on my phone. and people loved it. I got people messaging me saying, hey, thanks so much for doing that. It took me 2 minutes. And I got people messaging me that now, I'm in this group and I try to help everybody as much as possible. This is still content. It doesn't have to be scheduled in a social media scheduler to make it content. I mean, you're in groups building relationships and having conversations and solving problems. This is all content. I mean, your content is your brand, right? And you are your brand. So you've got to be in there all the time, not necessarily aggressively in people's faces with your content, but being the one that they tag when people have questions about your topic, or being the one that people recommend or the first one that they think of. And how can you be the first one that they think of if they never see you? And so this is
exactly
this is really a rant, right? Because it's kind of a thing that I always say is people cannot buy from you if they've never heard of you. And you have to put out content in order to be seen. That's just the rule, right? You can't, if someone doesn't know who you are, they can't buy. So you have to create content. You have to get in front of them. And if you're doing that once a month, like, there's just no way they're going to remember you.
No, and why should they? And I'm so glad you mentioned tags. One thing that a lot of people, and I see this all the time, they'll post something that I think is really, it's a great review of a book, or it's a great, maybe they're talking about a podcast they had, and they're talking about what their guest said, but they're not tagging the guest. What the heck? Do you not want to involve yourself in that person's audience? Like, I'm going to tag you. In fact, I did tag you on Facebook when I posted this on my podcast page. I mean, you immediately saw it and you responded.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't people tag more? Tag appropriately. We may need to explain that one too.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's criminal how people just feel like, well, I'll just do. I don't know if it's the bare minimum. You know what I mean? Like, it's a little bit lazy, and I've been guilty of it for sure as well. It's like, well, I'll just do what I've got to do, and that's it. Like, I'll just post about it, and it's like you went to all this work to put the content together, to invite the person, to have the conversation, to whatever your content is, and then you're just going to kind of, I don't know if I can say half-ass, the delivery of it, right? At the last minute, you're just going to kind of give up and do half job of it. I mean, it doesn't seem right, but it's what people do. I think it's the self-sabotage.
I know. It is. And you will always hear me say, especially about my podcast guests, because you people are fantastic. I mean, I live in a small community. I'm an introvert. I get my groceries delivered. I try to avoid people if I can. I don't dislike people. I just need to be alone a lot, 98% of the time. And I've created a lifestyle that lets me do that. But I get to meet people on this podcast and through social media all over the world who become friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got friends that will be lifelong friends. I've got people who email my cat. I've got people that I Zoom with in Slovenia. You know, I mean, I get to meet fantastic people doing what I do. And you'll hear me say this all the time back. When I'm posting about you guys, my guests, I'm showing you as much love as I can. Showing the love. I'm tagging you. Mm-hmm. I'm putting you out there. I'm putting you on my website. I'm taking, you know, really neat quotes that you said during the podcast, and I'm creating graphics and tagging you again. I mean, you've got to show the love. And I think that's what people don't understand about social media right now. You have to show up and be kind, be compassionate, and show the love. And I know that sounds silly. I know it. It sounded silly coming out, but I think you know what I mean.
I absolutely do. You're right. And I think it's so important you brought up, you know, a little bit of repurposing there. We're taking some of the content and using it in different ways. And that's what it's about. That's why we create content, in order to get like more views, to give more love, to create relationships, to do all these things. And you can really leverage the initial content that you have. Podcast episodes are a perfect example. There's a lot of real, I mean, this is a conversation I have with my clients all the time. There's a lot of real zingers in these podcasts. But there's usually, you know, 6, 8, 10, maybe really great points or one-liners or things like that that are said throughout the hour. And for anybody who's not willing to listen to something for an hour, like some of your audience aren't podcast people, but they really love the zinger quotes that you put out, right?
Exactly.
And I feel like it's kind of like what I said earlier with fishing in different ways with different baits. It's, you know, you've got a podcast for people who have long commutes or want to listen to an hour long, or you might chop out little mini bits and have 1 to 2 minute audios so that they can really just get the, you know, the golden nuggets all at once really quickly. And you've got written stuff, and maybe you do a blog post or something, or a transcription or things like that. These are all pieces of content. You could make a month's worth of content just out of one podcast episode.
And that takes us back to content repurposing, which is exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I feel like people certainly don't make or get as much juice, squeeze as much juice out of their content as they could. And then they feel stressed because they always have to think of something new to post on social media. And if I can get on my soapbox for a little second, there's no point in jumping on social media every single day and thinking, oh crap, what am I going to post today? Well, you already have a bunch of great content that you could just use. And I think when we turn up on social media every day, we're using energy to think of an idea, right? And that energy could be used for a ton of other things that day, but now you've turned up and you're using the same chunk of energy to think of something to post on social, to post it, you know, to panic a little bit because you don't have a better system in place. And if you have a system, which is exactly what I teach, then you know that you've created all this content already. And you can either, one, have the content strategy done so you know exactly what to post every day and you just turn up and post it. That takes a lot of the energy out of it that's usually needed. Or number two, you've created all the content in advance, so it just is scheduled and posted, right? I think those two things, even if you only have the content strategy done, it still gives you this like sense of relief and freedom and I don't know what else to call it. Like, I'll go back to relief because that's what it is for me. It's like, oh crap. Like if I don't have everything posted, I just think, oh, what, you know, I wish that I had time to build a system. But when I do have everything ready, it's scheduled in Agora Pulse or my assistant is ready to post it, or I already know what's going on, then I feel so much more confident. It gives you the sense of like, okay, cool. Well, I always say the same, like if you take me, for example, I always say the same 10 or 15 things. It's, you know, content repurposing, content creation, profile funnels, how to get clients from social media, how to track clients, how to, you know what I mean? Like all these different softwares that I always talk about. I'm always talking about the same stuff. So why don't I just take those 10 or 15 themes, make them into 12 themes, put them over a year, create, you know, a really great piece of main content for each of them. And then now I've got a year's worth of content because I can pull quote cards, memes, I can make stories, I can do short posts, I can do engagement questions, I could make images, I could do blog posts or LinkedIn articles on each of those topics. And now I've got a year's worth of content. I don't need to think about it.
And see, what I'm hearing from you, and I love this because that's exactly what I didn't do for the longest kind of time. I was posting, mm-hmm. but it was, you know, higgly-piggly, hit or miss, whatever I was in the mood for. It kind of sort of worked, but it really didn't. Mm-hmm. I was just showing up because I was lazy. And, you know, I had a little bit of imposter syndrome. Well, you know, I'm not Tony Robbins, so I'm not going to try to be. And off I'd go and, you know, I'd talk about something mm-hmm. different. I mean, who doesn't want to be Tony Robbins, for crying out loud? I love him. but here's the thing. Once you have your content in mind or sorted out in some kind of way, whether it's in the Hootsuite, excuse me, hang on, I'm choking today, whether you've created your graphics in Canva, which I also happen to love, then I found this out because I wasn't walking around going, oh, geez, oh, geez, oh, geez, what did I forget? What's next? Oh, geez. Mm-hmm. And the weird thing is, Beck, I'm brilliant at it for my clients. I sucked at it for myself. Brilliant for my clients, but you know, I mean, we all do this, right? I mean, for the longest kind of time, I'm a web developer. I dream in short codes. My website looked like I was the, you know, cobbler with no shoes. It was embarrassing. And I tended to do that with my own social media. But what I found was once I grabbed a hold of it and said, you know, you can do this for your clients, do it for yourself, then I relaxed and my creativity came back. Did you find that? Because, you know, if you're worried all the time, yet your creativity just tanks.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing about the confidence that having a system gives you is that, you have the ability now to take that energy that you were previously using to worry. And trust me, I'm a worrier. Like, I have a lot of that energy. And you can take that and go, okay, I don't need to worry. And sometimes you might try to find something else to worry about, which is what I did.
Yeah.
But
I'm not laughing
you
at you. I'm
energy.
Laughing with you.
Yeah,
I've
yeah.
Done the same.
Exactly. You do have that extra energy now to put into different things, so you become way more productive. And I absolutely know what you mean about, you know, just kind of throwing some stuff out there every now and again without really a proper system. Listen, it does work. I know a lot of people that it works for. But guess what? You get burned out. And then you can't be bothered showing up one day because it's a Wednesday and you've just had enough of the week. And now there's nothing going out because you refuse. And I've had days like that and maybe weeks or months like that. But if you have put together a whole system and trained somebody or done, you know, set it all up yourself, which is totally cool, then you don't have that problem. You could literally forget about content and still post random things whenever you want to, in addition to the stuff that's already going out. But it just gives you that confidence to know that that's happening. Where else can I focus my energy now? And it might be in, you know, creating a better system for your clients, you know, a more streamlined onboarding or better, you know, you could maybe think of a gift to send them when they sign up with you or just those little things that you hadn't really had time for because you're always worrying about what to post and why you weren't better at posting and why you're not as good as so-and-so who seems to be all over social media and you're not, you know, all that type of stuff takes energy. And when you have a system for anything, doesn't have to just be social media, then it frees you up to focus on other things that are important.
Oh, exactly. And I've noticed that if I'm not at least a month ahead with my social media, week three, I'm going, oh, and I start panicking. I mean, I know it. I don't even have to look at my tools, I know it's not there. And I know it's time to get really busy. But I do not want to be one day ahead. That'll drive me crazy very, very quickly. And I won't get anything done. Because now I'm thinking, okay, what do I do now? I mean, I will panic myself. It's annoying. So I don't do it anymore.
Yeah, I totally hear what you're saying. And actually, that it just kind of, this conversation kind of reminds me of the I guess, content pyramid that I use in my head when I'm doing this type of stuff. And there's brand awareness content that you can post anytime, kind of at the bottom, and maybe personal content is down there as well. And that stuff can just be scheduled and go out all the time. Actually, I mean, listen, all of it can really be scheduled. You don't have to sit on the edge of your seat trying to think of something new to post. It can all be scheduled and taken care of. But that brand awareness content is the one I always tell people about. And that just means that your face or your voice are showing up daily in front of your audience just so that they remember who you are. It's so important because, like I said, if they're not seeing your face or hearing your voice, then they're just not going to remember. I mean, I've had people tell me that they signed up with somebody else, you know, and then it's like, well, I do that thing. And oh, crap. I forgot that you did it. Well, because I wasn't putting out enough content, right?
Right.
And it just feels like a kick in the teeth. And I'm sure we've all had that experience where somebody signed up with somebody else and or you signed up with somebody else and forgot that, you know, maybe you're selling your house and you found a realtor and forgot that your sister-in-law was a realtor. You know what I mean? Like, there's always times that the name didn't pop into our head. Well, guess what? That's because we
That's
weren't
your fault.
There when
right.
they needed us. Yeah.
That's exactly right. And you mentioned your pyramid. Let's go over that because I love that idea.
Sure. So that the bottom of that pyramid is brand awareness and personal content. So brand awareness content is just things like your quotes, your little micro videos, audios, things like that, tutorials or stuff like that. And then whatever the personal content is we spoke about earlier, those type of things every day, all the time. I mean, I post 4 or 5 times a day at least right now. But if you're just looking to post once or twice a day or even less than that, which is fine, I would start with posting something that you're with your face on it that makes you look like an expert. For example, you know, a clip from a podcast that you were featured on, right? Or just, you know, teaching a little method of 5 ways to get more views on your Facebook posts or whatever is in your niche that you could post, and then that personal content. And then the next part is bridging content. And I feel like this is a term I made up, actually. So bridging content is super important. I got a testimonial the other day from somebody. It was really long, the longest one I've ever got, that was just absolutely, they had been doing content for a long time and they even taught content, and they would take months to turn their clients around from, you know, interested to client. And she said the difference was, what I was missing was I wasn't creating any bridging content. Now I'll tell you what, now they're turning their clients around and, you know, just a few days or a couple of weeks, and they're getting massive, you know, inquiries that they, you know, they've basically tripled their business just in a couple of weeks. It's insane. And this was the best testimony I ever got. I was very excited because I, you know, I made up the name of this concept at least. But so bridging content is basically anything that takes your client from thinking, okay, that person is cool and I like them and I can see what they do, to thinking, oh my gosh, I need to sign up for this. Like, this is what I need. And it's a really subtle thing. And I know it already exists. It's not like I really invented it, but I like thinking of it like that. It's a really subtle thing. And I call it bridging content because it creates a bridge between those two things. It's a really subtle mindset shift between somebody who thinks that you're an interesting human and likes your content, but hasn't really made the jump to being your client. And if you think about yourself in that position, you can feel the difference between like, oh, I really like that person, to like, oh wow, I really need this. You can feel it, like I feel it in my chest, like, oh wow, you know, if I think about working with someone versus just thinking that they're cool. So I'll give you an example. So if someone wants to work with me, there is a process that they go through, right? They have to be onboarded and they have to actually, let me give you another, like an actual example of what bridging content is. It's things like testimonials, right? People do not post enough testimonials. If you can get a testimonial,
I know.
Post it at least like
ask
once a week.
Ask them for it.
Put it in,
and I always
it,
tell
it
people,
in
go ask
format.
Them. they're not going to do it on their own. Go ask. They'll be happy to, but you have to ask. It's kind of like when you're leaving that last job of your life that you know you're never going to have to be in a job again. You're creating your own, but you still want to get that, you know, that letter. And, you know, you'll go to the office and say, oh, gosh, I don't have time. How about if I write it? Will you sign it? You bet. That works, too.
It does. It does. And you're right. Testimonials are super important. You should grab as many as you can and then put them in different formats. Don't, like I said with the podcast, don't just post it one time. Post it like weekly, and you don't have to post it just as, you know, you could post it as a screenshot from your email or from your, you know, your Facebook Messenger or Messenger or whatever it is, a screenshot. Or you could post it as an image where you've typed it in and put it on a quote card. Or you could post it as in a video where you read it out loud, right? Or an audio where you're reading it out loud. I mean, there's so many ways to use these. I put them on my sales pages, on my, you know, right underneath the checkout button or different stuff like that. I mean, you can use testimonials for everything, and they're really great bridging content. One of the other ones is case studies. I use case studies a lot, really. And when I see a case study, it always makes me, like, feel, oh, wow, this is really great. You know, that includes something with numbers, like specific results that people have gotten from working with you. I mean, if you only posted testimonials in those case studies, I mean, your business would definitely improve. Like, literally, if you posted those once a day, I guarantee that you're, like, things would change. Because people see those results and their brains go, oh, wow, that's I would like that result. Because everyone relates it back to themselves, right? And so that's why testimonials and case studies are so good. I'll give you an example of one I saw the other day that was really good. This woman that I previously had asked about doing some work with on my Kajabi site, she had quoted me something, and I ended up doing the work myself. And I saw her post something later on, like a few days or weeks later, that was like, hey, I've just changed this page for somebody. You know, I just updated it with a new template and I did this other thing. And look at the results. They got, you know, they've tripled their page conversion rate or something like that. And I was like, holy crap, like, that's amazing. And I immediately, even though I had kind of been thinking about working with her before, but I hadn't really taken the plunge, I wrote to her and was like, we need to work together. Like, this is awesome. Right. So all she did was post a screenshot of somebody's conversion rate and, you know, that she had just changed something. And it's not like she's much better at anything than anybody else, particularly, like, she had this really great result. But guess what? She showed it and it had hundreds of likes and hundreds of people being, like, impressed with it. And that in itself is social proof. Right. So all of this stuff, all of this to say is that this is bridging content. It's the type of stuff that people take notice because it's changed something for somebody. And that your clients are around, they're all looking for change, they're all looking for some result. And it's fine for you to say, hey, this workshop's on sale, here's what you get. But in order for them to really see it, they have to imagine themselves getting the result. And they can't really imagine it. You have to paint a picture for them, just like anything else. You have to paint a picture for somebody. It's the oldest sales thing in the book. You paint the picture, and they get that picture from seeing testimonials, from seeing case studies, from seeing screenshots of results, from seeing – that's why people post all their, I'm not saying you should post your income online, but, you know, gurus posting their, you know, screenshots from Stripe or whatever. I'm not saying you should do that, but guess what? They do it because it gets insane engagement, and that's how people – like, a lot of people sell things that way. I'm not saying that's the thing to do. I don't do that. I don't recommend it. But certainly that's a very common way to impress people, and it's because they want that result. And so while I don't endorse it, it's a great example of bridging content.
I see it all the time too, and I keep thinking, ooh, the IRS is looking at you. I don't think it's a good idea. But that's, you know, neither here nor there. So we got to how many items are on this?
Oh, yeah.
Grid, because we got bridging content, personal and brand awareness.
Yeah. And then the top, the little pointy bit at the top is promo content. I do not think that we should be doing a lot of promo content, especially as just generic, hey, buy my thing. What I like to do, so promo content is the top of the pyramid, but what I like to do instead of promo content, because what happens to me is when I say, hey, my workshop's $200 off, you can buy it, you know, just for today's the last day or something like that, there's never any engagement. That type of stuff doesn't get engagement. That's what we spoke about at the beginning of this call. No one cares if your thing is $200 off or what. Like, no, it's not interesting to people. So what I do to get around that is I will put a really quick message, you know, this is the last day to get $200 off my program, and then I'll put a meme. Now, memes are really, really good. I would call them brand awareness content. Well, not really brand awareness content. I actually don't even know what category to put memes in. Let me know if you know. But
I don't know. I was listening to that and going, okay, I'm blank too. I don't know. We're going to have to think about that
sure.
And talk later.
Yeah, but I'm not sure which category I put it in. But memes for me, I'm really big on memes. I create a lot of different memes. And it's industry humor. So I would almost call it authority content because I classify it as industry humor. And people can relate to you really well with a meme, and they find it amusing. And humor, for me, I mean, I did stand-up comedy in New Zealand for 2 years. I feel like humor is the best way to connect with people and get them to be on your side really quickly. You know, you could post 100 promo posts, but it will not be as good as one meme. Like, really, it's so good to get laughing. And so I add a meme, like, for example, I added, it's hard for me to explain this, but I added a meme of a girl blowing a trumpet, and the trumpet is, like, in somebody else's face who's against a wall. So it's, like, right in their face. And then I put me, I'm the girl with the trumpet. The trumpet is my Black Friday ad. And then, you know, the person against the wall is all my Facebook friends. And then I did the post. You know, workshop is this $200 off for Black Friday. And it got like a ton of attention because people find it really amusing. Yeah, they've seen my posts a lot. And I'm now like avoiding the awkwardness of being seen too much in their feed, or maybe they're, you know, probably getting a bit annoyed that I've been posting so much about this particular offer. But now they're fine. They're not going to snooze me. They're not going to be upset because I've made them laugh. And we're all laughing about the thing that could have been potentially awkward. But I feel like memes diffuse that a lot. And so I use memes all the time in my business for industry humor and for engagement and to get people, even a little bit of brand awareness. I post memes in other groups all the time. People now identify me as somebody who's funny. And that can get you a really long way in business, online business anyway.
It can't, because you're approachable. You know, all of a sudden, you're not this person that people just... I'll give you an example, because you're great at giving examples. Years ago, I had somebody contact me through one of my website forums and say, I know you're not going to read this or respond, but I would love to talk to you about this. And I went, why wouldn't I respond? Apparently, this girl thought I was just too big. You know, I was just too big a personality or too big in my area, and that I wasn't going to respond. Mm-hmm. So I picked up the phone and called her and told her who I was. And she said, oh, my God, it's really you. I was a little bit appalled, I have to tell you, that I had somehow created that persona that people thought that I was too good to talk with them. It kind of hurt my feelings. So I got a whole lot looser, is that even a word? I got friendlier, if you will, and I you know, wasn't trying to post my stuff. I was making the mistakes that we're talking about, because this was a long time ago. There was nobody to tell us, don't do that, it's a bad idea. But I was making it all about me, all about what I could do, all about, you know, what, not really what I could do for you, but what my company could do. It was the wrong way to approach it. And this is 10 years ago or better. I'm still so grateful that she contacted me in the way she did, and we're good friends now.
That's amazing. That is a really great example of, you know, some people want to be seen that way. I certainly don't. I think it's so much about creating relationships, and you just can't create them in the same way if you're untouchable or unapproachable.
Unapproachable.
You're right. Humor,
yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Humor really helps people to relate and relax. And that's certainly what I found. And memes do that in the fast way I've ever seen.
Oh, I agree with you. Yeah, I have this whole folder on my desktop that says add to Pinterest because I'm constantly swiping people's memes. I think they're hysterical. I love them. I mean, you got to see some of them I can't use because they're kind of naughty, but they're fun to, you know, just, aw, and they give you ideas. I will often open up my add to Pinterest folder just to get some ideas, you know, for content. I may not use the meme, but it'll go, ooh, and there goes Hamilton. I'm sure you can hear him. you know, it's just a good way to come up with content ideas by looking at what other people are doing and saying, hey, that's a terrific idea. Now I can go do something different.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, so we've only got, God, this is 4 minutes. That's all we've got left. It's gone so quickly.
Oh, wow.
What? Yeah. I know. I told you it's the quickest hour in the internet. I'm going to have to smack him. What else do you want people to know that you think is really, really important before we have to end this?
So I think the important thing to know really is to have a strategy for your social, because the better your strategy, the more successful you'll be in creating a system for content creation that leads to, you know, posting good things, that leads to engagement, that leads to you following up with people and getting leads, that leads to people reaching out for leads, that leads to you, you know, turning those leads into sales. And that's what a business is. And content is such a massive part of that. And people think they need ads. Don't need any ads. You just need to post better organic content that gives people, paints a picture for people and makes them laugh and keeps them engaged and gets them to know, like, and trust you. And I think that's probably the outline of everything that I do.
Well, let's talk about, you had said earlier that you have a workshop. Tell me about that, because I may be over there joining it, so I want to hear more about it.
Yeah, it's a new offer that I put together because so many people want to work with us. We only accept a few people a month to do their content for them, so we do a done-for-you service. Where we create, you know, daily content for people and post it, all the stuff that we've been talking about. And the workshop is kind of a course, actually, where I explain all of the frameworks that I use in creating content for other people. I explain how to take 1 5-minute video and turn it into 25 pieces of really awesome content in different, you know, in different ways, memes, with a lot of stories. There's 40 plus different types of content that I have listed in this course, and you just choose, you know, you just plug in which ones you want and then it kind of sorts it out for you. There's an idea framework that I built. It's a little spreadsheet tool that you create it generates 2,000 ideas in 10 minutes for you. It's pretty cool. And then there's just all the tools that I've created for this. I love creating tools. It's like one of my things. And so all of those are included in the workshop. And you could create, as I said earlier, a year's worth of content in just a few hours, like plan it out for your strategy. Or you could create, you know, the first quarter of next year's content, lay it all out, create it just in a few hours. I mean, it's an incredible, set of tools that you can use for content creation. And like I said, not just for content creation, because, you know, we see these tools that are sold all over the place, 365 posts that you could post, or, you know, all those types of things. But those are just generic engagement posts. There's nothing really there that's going to help your business. It's like they're not organized in any type of system. And so I created this way to build a real system that gets results and shows you how to follow up with leads and shows you how to get full messaging you in your inbox and shows you how to manage all those people and not lose them in Messenger, all that type of stuff, just in one little package of video tutorials and things like that inside the workshop.
That sounds brilliant, and it sounds like something I wish I had done, but you've already done it, so I'm going to promote you instead. I don't have the patience to create tools. I'm really good at using them, but I don't have the patience to create them. So thank goodness for people like you. So, Beck, before we go, we're just about to lose our stream. Where can people find you?
Yeah, so my free version of the Academy, which there's a whole bunch of stuff in there that we've been talking about today. It's ampcontentacademy.com, so AMP, like Amplify. ampcontentacademy.com is where you'll find that, and we have a Facebook group, Social Content Marketing for Entrepreneurs, too.
I'm in there. I think I got in there last week. Beck, thank you.
I saw that.
So, okay. You'll be seeing me in there asking questions. Thank you for being with me here today. You've been speaking my language. It's been wonderful speaking with you. And I thank you for all of the wonderful tips and advice that you've shared with our audience. And before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us in iTunes and honestly anywhere else you consume your business podcasts. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. Beck, thank you.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.